Hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. So if any of you are a little bit like me, kind of confused on energy and how it all works, we can all agree that we want low emission producing forms of energy, but you know, where does it all come from? You know, we know natural gas is a part of it. We know crude oil is a part of it. We know wind and solar. And there's even things like geothermal, big old crazy mess, all sorts of definitions. And I figured I'd start off by helping us all out. Maybe we can, you don't have to take notes, but get some idea of how it all works, or at least the definitions. The definitions have always driven me crazy because we've got things like volts and amps and ohms and watts. They all deal with electricity. And as much as I've been, I don't necessarily want to say studying, but learning, dealing with electricity over my lifetime, never really understood the difference of all of these. But volts are how much energy is kind of held within the power line. It's just a baseline. It's just the energy. Keep it simple like that. Amps are the volumetric, or the power of the volts passing along the wire. So how many of those volts, how dense those volts are passing through, are amps. Ohms are the resistance or the friction of the wire that the volts are passing through. The more ohms, the more friction. So that's why we need bigger wires so we can pass more amps of volts through that wire. And then the trickiest one for me over the years was watts. What are watts? Watts is power consumed or created. It's a multi-definition for energy. It's energy expelled or created. Volts is watts in the process of being transferred, in a nutshell. Amps are how fast or how through that wire we're pushing those watts. Ohms, again, are the resistance. And watts, again, an easy way to kind of convert watts or understand watts is calories. When we are working out, we expel watts, but we count them as calories. We convert them into calories for a different form of measurement. Watts can also be converted into horsepower. That's what tells us what horsepower is. It's that energy, the light bulb. When the light bulb says it is 500 watts, and that's a really light, bright light bulb, but it is consuming and putting off using 500 watts. And so when we look at watts, that's how we kind of measure energy consumption at the home, is in by the kilowatt hour, how many watts you're using, 1,000 watts per hour. So that way we figure out how we're billed. And then power plants are built on the kilowatt hour, megawatt hour, gigawatt hour, on how much they are able to create and build and send out at a moment's notice. Here in the United States, our electricity grid runs at 60 hertz. It's the vibration, the pulse of the alternating current, AC. It's an on-off series, so that way power is pushed through, flown through, or like a wave sails through the line, so that way it's not over torturing it. DC, a direct current, has a limited distance. It's a solid beam of energy, of volts of power, So it's very limited. Whereas if we beacon out the electricity of AC, we can make it go much further distances. But all of this electricity, this talking concept of power, deals with the energy crisis that's going on over in Europe right now for a myriad of reasons. But long and short of it is Europe is now having a problem with supplying their gas plants, their liquid natural gas, things kind of like propane, but not propane is a subset of liquid natural gas, to create their power. Now, LNG is, in a nutshell, brought into a plant. They vacuum it out of the ground, be it through a vacuum or through fracking, which people have an issue with. I'm not here to argue that. But this fuel, liquid natural gas, is sucked out of the ground, sent to a processing plant where they cook it again and refine it. The process done through that in oil is cracking, but because this is a gas, it's different. And then they ship it out to the power plant. The power plant burns it, creates steam, turns a turbine, and through the process of magnetics, electricity is created. And then it is sent down the line to all of us. Now, due to the deal in Ukraine and other factors, this power has been turned off. Liquid natural gas. Gazprom, the biggest natural gas producer outside of the United States, I believe, has decided to cut the exports. They say it's due to a series of leaks within the liquid natural gas pipeline that fuels all of Europe. It doesn't help that Europe decided to, the European nation decided to put a price hike or a price halt, price control on Russian natural gas. Now, in terms of negotiations, you can say, I'm not going to pay more than $10. And the person selling can say, that's okay. Take your business elsewhere. But when you really need that item, supply and demand, there are a couple thousand people that require that natural gas to run the power lines. And again, things, instead of being $10, now we're at $1,000. I can't afford $1,000. I'm not paying more than $1,000. But again, due to supply and demand and how things have all played out, the European Union doesn't want to pay that. I can't blame them. Rather expensive. And so they're having to rely on wind and solar energy, which is not as consistent. We can't maintain those pulses of power along the electrical lines to keep the lights on. And so because we can't provide energy at a consistent time, consistent pace, demand stays the same, but supply has shrunk, prices go up. And all of this, again, is really strangely interconnected when you think about just the fact that here in the United States, we had our gas prices go up and we saw things at the grocery stores go up in price because those semi-trucks have to fill their tanks with gasoline or diesel, more specifically petrol. And that gets passed on to the consumer. I remember hearing something that businesses passing on taxes was evil. But such is how business goes. Things cost money. They all kind of add up. We don't pay a wholesale price. We pay an aggregate price of all the little pieces all added together. And so things start adding up. When we look at Europe, again, going through their little energy crisis, and by little, I mean massive, because not only are the household electricity bills going up, but business electricity bills are going up. And if you can't even break even, maybe you can suffer losing money as a business for a year or two, but at what point, what's the point? How much money do you have to lose? How much money just in operating costs? Right, we're not just paying people $15 an hour. We got to keep the lights on as well. Winter's coming. Got to be able to heat the place. If you can't do that, if you can't make money, it might just be cheaper to shut the business down and pay the mortgage on the place until things kind of level off. Let's not focus on people having a problem with their jobs, but Again, the jobs overall, the employers. How interconnected are all these things? I remember talking to people out in Washington, the flow of the damage of when Boeing would go on strike or just when the 737 MAX was having problems. People that would, small businesses, mom and pop sized places that would make the exit signs, so to say. I'm not sure which signs they made, but stickers that would go all throughout the building. Or maybe a small machinist that knew how to make a specific series of screws or nuts that needed to go onto the plane are now out of business. So now those individuals, their home heating prices, their electricity bills are through the roof. Business bills are through the roof, so they're kind of shutting down. And natural gas is also not just used for electricity, this cost of doing business. Natural gas can be used to create fertilizer, or more specifically, ammonia. And so not only has the supply and demand affected the price of LNG to heat people's homes, it's interconnected as well with the fertilizer industry. And we've seen, again, price increases on all sorts of things. I know we talked a while ago about the increase in just, or the lack of profit in raising cattle. And now the fertilizer situation that's going to come from the increased cost just to be able to grow plants is another little thing that kind of bounces in there. So this isn't a knock on petrol energy, dinosaur energy, or green energy. I think we need a diverse, well-rounded collection of energy sources to supply our demand. We can't rely just on one thing, because when one thing goes down, we've put all our eggs into one basket. And when we drop that basket, eggs are lost in the process. When the sun is shining and the wind is blowing, just so long as the wind is not blowing too hard, renewables, green energy, is pretty good. But we also have to look at the return investment on the energy that they are producing. Solar power has a 15 to 20% conversion rate. Wind is not too far behind that. So if we take 100 watts from the sun, or 1,000 watts from the sun, we get 150 watts of power converted from just the solar panel, per solar panel, in a nutshell. Same thing with the wind. But again, if the wind is blowing too hard, run the chance of sending too many amps through the wire, or just the motor itself, burning up the motor, burning up the wires, or causing a problem at the battery, because all of the green energy requires a battery. It's all battery powered. Liquid natural gas used to be extremely cheap, consistent. You can turn it on and off, raise and lower it as it needs to be to match that 60 hertz that we talked about, for that pulsing signal for the AC to send down the line. And we could have problems with the fracking. It may be an issue. But liquid natural gas is more consistent, again, than wind and solar. It's cleaner than burning straight oil. Think about that. Burning oil to create our energy, to run the boilers, to turn the turbine, to create the power. Lots of particulates that get released into the air. And so how do we want to balance out our green energy? Do we want to do it with liquid natural gas, or do we want to do it with oil? What if things got so bad that we needed at least to create some sort of power, and we went back to coal? Coal is a very, very cheap means of energy to create, but it puts off a whole bunch of particulate matter, a whole lot of stuff into the air. It's cheap, simple. Gotta do some digging. But again, we can heat people's homes with just the chunks of coal, or we can create that electricity. Dug up an article that said that with new carbon scrubbers that are installed, coal can reach a 33% level of efficiency. That's a 10 to 15% higher than what solar gives us on a much cheaper basis. But again, what's the cost? In some places where energy is so expensive, at least the idea of building a liquid natural gas plant or building some sort of refinery, coal is still very available, such as in Poland, where people are lined up for 4 days just to get a collection of coal to be able to heat their homes for the winter, kind of prepping, getting ready for the craziness. And again, supply and demand, that coal is now worth a little bit more because everybody wants some, not just some giant processors that are going to buy it in bulk. We have the option for nuclear. There's a PBS documentary. Didn't look up the note for that. That just came to mind. But again, that PBS documentary talking about nuclear, much more feasible. Doesn't belong everywhere. There's certain places where, again, solar probably makes the most sense and wind makes a lot of sense. Or maybe there's liquid natural gas fields. That's the other thing I learned, that LNG is more available around the world than oil supplies are. We think about oil being in the OPEC area, Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, Texas and Alaska, Venezuela. But LNG is everywhere. Everybody can produce it, create that unified system so everybody's got similar parts. Makes it just a little bit cheaper to create, to build everything. And those savings get passed on to customers. But again, places like California, where they're kicking out all of their polluting forms of energy, at least locally polluting, not globally polluting, but they've been having their share of blackouts created by the windy dryness and power lines getting toppled over for whatever reason. So they've got the wildfires to worry about. And then they have to now worry about the green situation, not able to maintain their grid. Maybe there's just too many people there. Don't know. Don't know how you balance all that out. But we as the collective, we need to figure out some way of balancing our power consumption and power creation. We can do little bits here and there instead of running a whole bunch of extra power lines. Like for my shed, for example, get a solar panel or two and a small battery and a meter for that. Because I just need the lights on in there. I don't need full-on power. Certain systems within the house, we could probably do the same. But we here as Americans seem to use a significant amount of power compared to most other places. But we also need that for being able to connect to the internet. Everybody's working from home nowadays, washing clothes in their clothes washing and drying machines instead of being out in the yard with the washboard, cleaning everything in a tub, or going down to the local river and getting lye. But I hope all of this has been at least thought-provoking. Getting those ideas again, turning within your head, within your mind, giving you something to think about, giving you at least a talking point or a rabbit hole to chase, see where it takes you. And maybe we can figure all this out together, but we gotta get that conversation started. And I've been Billy Bones, BILLYBON, the number 3S. Find me on Twitter and Gab at Billy Bones. Find me on Mastodon through No Agenda Social at Billy Bones at noagendasocial.com. If 140 characters isn't enough to let me know how you feel, you can send me an email, billybones@mail.com. Remember, that's the number 3 instead of an E, and at mail, not gmail.com. Through the website, there's previous shows. There's show notes, quite the collection today. And there's a button on the main page that says Value for Value, because that's what this is. I put this out, no commercials, no corporate sponsorship, in hopes that you find value out of it in one way, shape, form, or another. And if you do, I ask that you send value back. Be that sharing the show, giving someone else a chance to consider and ponder and talk. Or you can do like Jamie L. did. Sent me $10. Thank you, sir. Thank you for helping me keep these lights on today. And I am a Podcast 2.0 compliant app. I am accepting Satoshis, little tiny bits of Bitcoin. If you're using a Podcast 2.0 app, go to newpodcastapps.com. Split Pocket Parlay sent me 950 sats for paying with the Syntax show, saying getting out of the West Coast was the best thing I could do for my family. It's sensible living out here in Knoxville. Good episode, Billy. Thank you, Pocket Parlay. And thank you to everybody else who's listening, tuning in, supporting the show, be that sharing or donating or just communicating. I appreciate your support. I'll talk to you next week, and I love you guys.